Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And as you may know, if you've been following us, Talk Straight has been on somewhat of a traveling journey for the last, since January, beginning of 2020. And we are endeavoring to inform parents in the Nashville, Davidson County area about a very, very important opportunity, that being their choices for educational choices for their children. Right now, public school system has this option open. Go to traditional schools, inform parents about the option of homeschooling, as well as now a new opportunity is available called ESA, which stands for Educational Savings. And so tonight what we'll do, two things we'll do. We will share a bit of African-American history, given that this is Black History Month. And I agree with many who say we need more than just a month. I concur. Nonetheless, we will share a highlight. I think it's most apropos or fitting for our conversation tonight. Then we will walk through again how you can connect with me or with Building Families and Communities, which is the sponsor for the Parent Choice Network that we're endeavoring to build here in Nashville, Davidson County, and in Tennessee, as a matter of fact. Okay, so with that being said, those are the two things. Go to 657-383-0944. Let me just say that what we've been doing is posting up at various public venues, public libraries. We're not at Edmonton Pike tonight, as previously announced. However, we will be back there on Tuesday the 18th, and if I'm not mistaken, that following Tuesday. But nonetheless, we're airing now. You can still follow us. You're on your computer, on your phone, and we're going to go to the Parent Choice Network website, blog page, so that you can follow us there as well. What we want you to do is to prepare yourself to sign up and check your eligibility out, because that empowers you to be able to say, I might want to consider looking at what will come real soon, some choices of approved private schools. And I may want to consider sending my child to one. All right? You may decide that y'all are just fine, this zone school and metro. No problem. You may say, I'm ready to homeschool my child. We'll even talk about that a little bit, how you can find that information. Knowledge is power. And in this day and time, parents need as much information to empower them as possible. And that's really what it's all about. Okay? And that brings us to our topic, choice and opportunities. It's good for me, but not for thee. Too often, public figures, people who we look up to, either in the church, elected officials, people serving in law enforcement and social service industries and things of that nature, it seems as though the notion is that when there are benefits, i.e. job security and not being able to have some say over your quality of life, the best opportunities and choices, I'm going to get those even if you don't. Even if you don't. All right? So it's good for me, but not for thee. What happens is that people, parents, everyday folk, work hard like you and me. They want the best for their children, for their families, and for themselves as well, even though they're not in a highlighted position. They want the best as well, right? And so when the notion is, when it comes to the type of schooling or education or access to resources and opportunities, I'm going to make sure I get mine, right? Even though I'm here to help you, if you get yours or not, I'm going to get mine. And for sure, I'm going to look out for my children. Well, it hadn't always been the case, but now it is, that parents have more opportunities, more choices. So we want to encourage you to do that. We're planning some major events around town. I want you to prepare yourself for that as well. You may have heard some of our commercial spots on 102.1. And you may have also followed us on Bounce TV, this advertising relative to the Parent Choice Network. And of course, those of you that are following us, you're here with us. All righty. Now, having said that, let's go to a little history. The phone lines are open, 657-383-0944. We are modifying our regular programming for the for Talk Straight on these Tuesday nights in the interest of being able to answer your questions about parent choice options as we're sharing and presenting it with you and to you. Okay? Thursday night we'll resume our regular 2-hour segment and our normal flow. We encourage you to come follow us there. Again, if you follow us through Facebook or go to our website, EFCInstitute.com, you'll be able to click on and even hear previous episodes. All right, having said all of that, I think we've covered all the preliminaries now. So let's kind of get into our historical piece. And as I do so, you go ahead and give us a call. Go ahead and give me a call. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call to the studio, get this information, and talk to us. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to engage you in this informative process. All right? This is February 11th. Can you believe that? Given us something already. We talked a little bit about Frederick Douglass last week and the father of Negro, then it was called, now Black History Month, Carter Woodson, and how he left an indelible impression in American culture by ensuring that at least it was just a week, now a whole month. the shortest month in the year, albeit, but left that impression to ensure that every American recognizes that on your calendars, right? For better or for worse, let's pick our wins, and if we have to lick our wounds over our losses. Tonight we're going to talk about another historical figure. We said last week that everybody is walking, living history. No matter what your fight in life is, your level of status, you're important. You're having a value. You're making a contribution to humanity. You have to work harder to ensure that you're intentional about the contribution you're making, and that it is not harmful to anyone else, right? That is useful for us, beneficial to our neighbors. Forces and opportunities is our topic tonight. It's good for me, but not for thee. Some of those politicians likely say, right? Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The text is simply saying that in the grand scheme of things, everyone is a member of humanity, one. All right, so Carter Goodwin Woodson gave us the basis for recognizing past events that shaped not only American culture, but specifically Afro-American culture. And as we talk about being able to send your child to a learning institution of your choice, even if it's not a traditional public school, private school, here is a good historical example of how the deliberate and empowering action of forming a school that is reflective and considering of the cultural, social and economic experience of African American people. Yes. Now, what's interesting is, don't hear a whole lot of conversation about African Americans starting private schools. Perhaps that's because most people are satisfied with the traditional public schools, or they just don't know. I believe the latter is the case. They don't know how. Some may be very much interested. And that's why we're doing what we're doing now. Booker Taliaferro Washington, a.k.a. Booker T, he founded a trade school July 4, 1881, called the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute. It was down in Alabama. Well, how did he do that? You know that 1881 is just a rock star a few years from 1865 when slavery was over. 13th Amendment was enacted. And now former slaves were free, right? Later on they got 14th Amendment, more recognition as citizens. Then subsequently right to vote. Men anyway. Later in 1900, I believe in 1918, women were included in that right to vote. Well, so how did this black man, Booker T, pull this off? Interestingly enough, he received a large amount of support from his wife, right? With the intention of empowering, though, former slaves, Negroes, so that they can benefit from their natural expertise. What was that expertise? Well, they helped Carnegie build the railroads. They helped Morgan, J.P. Morgan, strung lights all across America. They helped many people build the South. They could read, they could write, but they had enormous skills to build. and many relied on them. Booker T understood that, hey, they can eat with that for the rest of their lives and pass those skills down to their future generation, and they can make it. They don't have to dig, borrow, and steal from nobody. He had the foresight and the wisdom. They listened. These people that used to enslave them, and some that were against slavery, they have an incentive to help empower them to be self-sufficient and independent. And guess what? It happened. Listen what happened. Booker T, I mentioned, went to white people. Even though state and local governments, they underfunded black schools, and they were caught up in this mess about separate but equal, basically. And, you know, you can argue that they didn't have the same opportunities as whites did. Well, Booker T said, I'm going to be smart about it. Check this out. I'm going to show you how I'm going to get down. Booker T went to rich folk, philanthropists, right? And he convinced them to support educational options financially. In other words, put their money where their mouth was. You don't want black folks to take over the South, now they're free. And some of them, that's why the Klan started, because they were afraid that we can't control them legally anymore. What are they going to do? What are we going to do? They're going to tear up what we started. Booker T said, listen, we have the skills to produce for ourselves. We're not thieves. We're not robbers. You got to be scared of us, even though you got every reason to be. You've done it wrong, but you don't have to be afraid of it. And Booker T said, we're going to challenge, tap into our natural skill to build these railroads and homes and the antebellum South and so forth and so on. So he went to white philanthropists, encouraged them to put their money behind different projects all across the South, right? And he became the premier source for white philanthropists to say, if you want to help yourself, we're willing to help invest in your plan. What plan is that, Doctor? Some sort of business plan, some idea that will make you free, that will really keep you free. Booker T had the unmitigated gall, tenacity. They listened. We know that slavery was wrong. It was unjust. Rather than cry about it, what we're going to do is use our skills to provide for ourselves. The law allows us to do that now as citizens. So what he did was associate himself with some of the most powerful business people and politicians in that era. And they saw him as being the person, the go-to guy, the go-to guy. Now, why are you saying that, Doctor? I started off by telling you, with this opportunity for education savings account, there is a window of opportunity for African Americans to even start their own institutions. Then you are in the best position to ensure your children get exactly what you think they need. Have I got a witness? Have I got a witness? So I'm going to go to the phone lines now. You're listening to Talk Straight, and we're talking from the topic specifically, choice and opportunities. It's good for me, but not for you. We got a caller from Nashville, last 4 digits, 4063. I think this is my good friend that was with us last week, and then we have St. Louis, 4644 out of St. Louis. Welcome, gentlemen, to conversation tonight.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
All right. Is that you, Brother Ursprey?
No, that's me, Pianchi.
Yeah, I got you. I hear you. I'm 4063. Is that you? Can you hear me? Okay. I see you on the line. All right. If you can hear me, just go ahead and jump. He's probably working. I think this is. He's in transition work, but we're happy that you joined us. Just jump right on in. Get in when you fit in. St. Louis, we'll go to you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Do you have a question or comment thus far on our topic?
No, it's a good topic.
Thank you, sir.
Booker T. Washington, the NAACP didn't want him to do that, though.
No, they sure didn't. He had a lot of opposition. That's so true.
And they don't want that today.
Why do you think that is? I'm just curious. What do you have any thoughts about that, looking back on it? Why would they not want him to make such a bold move?
Because then you have a lot of free thinkers like I am.
Watch out, man. Watch out. Okay.
You know, and in essence, it's true. Because if a large portion, you know, NAACP was almost broke, and you had to have some corporations come and bail them out.
But they
support those entities that's against this type of reasoning, this type of thinking, actions from people that proclaim self-determination when it comes down to educating of their own young people. And if you're not educated, then if you don't have skills to sell and skills to sell to high demand professions, then, you know, you're in a precarious position. You're going to be in a certain class that depends on a lot of social abilities, social and help programs. And you got a political party that is supported and caters to fostering more and more of those type of people. It's quite obvious. They don't want you to escape.
Well, you know, it's interesting because some people try to pit Washington and Du Bois against one another in some debate-type scenario because of the philosophical. The philosophy that they have. You know, Du Bois was trying to encourage more intellectual level thinking, and many would argue that Washington was more practical in terms of let them use the industrial expertise and skills that we know they have. Even if they can't read and write, we know they can build the South. They built all of the antebellum homes and all of these structures and what have you.
Well, both of them was a result of mixed marriages, Booker T. Washington was a mulatto, and Du Bois was too. Du Bois came. Well, see, that shapes your thinking. I mean, we got to realize that does shape your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you have those biological forces in you that do come to play. Du Bois was from Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and that was a town that every graduation they would send 10 of their best students to Harvard and pay for it.
Okay.
And the year Du Bois graduated, they didn't send him because he was colored.
Too dark.
So what he done, he enrolled in Fisk University.
Right.
And he had never experienced any racism until he was on a streetcar. At that time, he had streetcars. And that was the first time he experienced racism, if you want to call it that.
I wanted to really look at Booker T's example because, as you said, it is probably one of the best examples of the independent thinking, right? And taking control of your own destiny as it's related to courses and education. We see how all across America, where they're predominantly African-American children in school. Many of them do well. I'm not suggesting nobody benefits. But but we have a certain percentage that don't. And when they don't, they fall out of society. They drop out, and they wind up either in the streets, prison system, or on the ground. And you know that that's a sore spot for me. That's what we're trying to turn around. But what's interesting is now we're in a situation where, like Booker T, we can do this. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but knowing that, I have personally made steps. I'm not afraid to announce that we've made steps to do just that within the context of this opportunity, because it's necessary for us to have the environment that is sterile, therapeutic, and instructive enough to get it. And I don't want just the best. We both are good, too. I want your worst. Give me your worst.
Well, another thing with Du Bois, too. Du Bois believed in talent and talent. But look,
yes.
Du Bois
means
that he believed that a certain percentage of the population should be mixed with whites.
Is that what he meant?
That was his...
Or did he mean that?
No, that's what he meant, because that's what he was. That's what I told you.
Well, we know that. We know that.
He's quoted saying that too. I mean, you can read it. Just got to search for it.
I'm not.
And that's
sure
not the
that
only time.
I'm not sure he said it just like you described it, but he was very clear that he believed that there was a tenth of the population that had the intellectual stamina, stability, and strength to pull others up. And that's where the talented ten concept came from. He talks about each one. Well, Du Bois, I went to Pittsburgh.
Well,
University. That's where I got
let's look at that. Let's look at this. See, people get mad at me because of things I say.
Hold your thought just for a second. 657-383-0944. We are talking from the conversation, choice and opportunity. It's good for me, but not for thee. That's what some say. But everybody has an opportunity and has a right to do for themselves. All right, go ahead, caller from St. Louis. I'm sorry.
Well, you have to look at that, because during that time, with the 1919s or something like that, there was no educated minds like what you're talking about, like we have today. Right, because they weren't allowed to go to school. Blacks did have their own schools, but you had an organization that convinced them, and this was up north, that they should give up their own schools and get involved with the public school system. And I can't think of the name of that organization. But his statement on that was factual, because you had no blacks coming out of any schools of like a Harvard back in those days. Okay. Matter of fact, did you know that the historical black college was built by white males who wanted their mulatto kids not to go to school with other blacks? And I don't know if each and every last one, but that was the thinking during that time.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of the support for Hampton and places like this came from northern interests and or individuals, you're right, who had vested interest because they had children that were colored or mixed. I think that's a strong argument to be made there.
Yeah, you always have the left, right, and those in the middle. And now you have those in the middle, which is more prominent today than they have ever been before. All before, there was always the left and the right. So that's just the way it was. You had the one gentleman, I can't think of his name, was involved with Sears Roebuck. He contributed a lot to Washington School, and it was a lot of them that did. Even during the Civil Rights era, you had about 9 or 10 corporations that contributed to that one organization that was led by Stephen Currier that provided the $1.5 million for the Big Six. But Booker T. Washington had a good idea. And at that time, it was a great idea. And now, as far as that idea going on today, I don't think it would, because
why
the
you say that? Now,
type of...
Now, why would you say that?
Well, because you couldn't See, you have trade schools like Rankin there in St. Louis, all right?
Yeah.
But most trades.
We don't have enough of them now. We don't have enough of them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you're talking about the building trades have their own school system, apprenticeship programs.
Right, that's true.
All right.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So as far as you needing 10 million plumbers and electricians, that just isn't the thing now because of technology. The technology don't demand a need for that. Now you
want you to consider this argument then for and even in the traditional public school setting, they took it out. I think that was a great detriment, particularly to African-American males. And here's why I say that, because when you look at it, and there are seven learning styles that have been identified. One of them in particular has to do with kinesthetic ability, use of your hands, psychomotor skill sets, and what have you. Historically, we know that that was the great contribution and expertise, and it's really what Booker T. Washington zoned in on, that natural ability, even if you didn't have the level of cognition or formal learning to speak, write, and do things, they had that natural ability. And would you not agree with my argument that in some ways cut out a certain population, especially in the tracking?
Well, when you say they had that natural ability during Booker T. Washington period?
Yeah.
You said, Africans didn't have.
I'm talking about Negroes
didn't have that natural ability like what you're saying. They look. You,
what do you mean?
Look
why
at where
you say
they.
That?
Well, what were they doing plumbing at on the? Where were they doing plumbing at on the plantation?
They were working under the direction and the hands most often of rich whites or slave masters. However, it was their blood, sweat, and tears that rendered the antebellum homes in many of your places like Charleston, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, down in Florida, right? Major iconic areas that you cannot ignore the fact that had not been for the sweat and labor of these individuals. Montgomery Bell, for example, around 1812 or so, he had a favorite slave called James Worley, right? Out in Tennessee, Charlotte area, and Worley Furnace, Tennessee. And the story is told that he took him to New Orleans with him. And one of Montgomery Bell's friends said, "He's a good boy. How much would you sell him for?" He said, "I wouldn't sell him for nothing all my life," because he recognized that James Worley had natural engineering skills and helped him to fashion the cannonballs, the balls that went in the cannons during the War of 1812. I'm just saying, you don't.
Well, you had blacks that was involved in making pewter. You had a few people, but overall, that just didn't exist because there was no need for that. Down south, they weren't using concrete mix. They wasn't using sand aggregate, coarse aggregate, cement, and water. They was making bricks out of clay.
Whatever,
and they
were
piling
doing
them on top of each other. When you went up north,
whatever,
that's what you thought it.
Well, whatever
they didn't
they
have
were
steel
doing,
erection. They didn't have
they
steel it. Erection. You know, Mr. Dockett, I know you hate to hear me say this.
What you hate?
But it's the reality. It's the reality. And the reality is the reality.
Let me hear you out. What you trying to say?
When I'm telling you that the type of industrialization that was going on up in the north was not going on in the south. They wasn't building skyscrapers down north. They wasn't using concrete. They was making clay brick on the most part. I heard somebody tell me that I asked them, how did blacks build America? And they told me, well, they drained swamps. Well, draining swamps is not building America. And then those people went up north and had to be trained to do those things. Down on the plantations, they didn't have those type of that type of thing. Not, you might have had a few, but not as a whole.
Here's the point that I think, respectfully, here's the point I think you make. And that is, whether someone had superior skill sets based on formal training or not, it can't erase the fact that those individuals who often were illiterate and did not understand numeracy and things of that nature, they did have a natural skill set that rendered much of the culture and iconic figures, in particular the South. You can't argue that. You can argue it, but I mean, people all over the country
had those natural skills. You go up in the Northwest in Washington State, they were lumberjacks.
What we're talking about, I'm not denying that that's the case. Because not all blacks in America were slaves. And many of them were free and were born free. No doubt about that. My point is, in this scenario that we're talking about, Booker T. Washington looked at a situation, and rather than crying about how bitter he was, and it was, if I might use this analogy, he got some water, put some sugar with it, and made some lemonade. And to this day, there are a lot of young people who are struggling academically to demonstrate these formal academic skill sets, but yet they have great talent that is underused, underrecognized, and untapped. And there's
the talent that people have is valuable to those who have a demand for it. You know, you look at Tuskegee today, that institution is neglected even by the people who it was intended to serve. And then, too, it's being not only neglected as a physical entity, but neglect lies with the preparation of the students that's coming into the facility, the organization. And that goes back into the elementary, it goes back into what's going on at the elementary level. And that's where I'm telling you that the organizations that I mentioned, they stymie the progress and the development of young people that would go into these institutions and be able to hold their own day one. That's where the problem lies.
And to your point, they were the ones who are most likely to say, well, it's good for me, but not for thee, you know. And anytime somebody tells you that they have some sort of usurped authority or power over your thoughts and ideas, man, that's dangerous. You know, because when they leave, what are you going to do? If you give them your brain and they decide to take off and go somewhere, what are you going to do for yourself when they're gone? Let me recognize, I think this is my co-host. Fastwall, is that you, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing, Dr.
All right, good. Good. We are still on our modified schedule on Tuesday night, and I know that kind of threw quite a few people off. I've gotten emails and phone calls, but we're doing this special thing for Parent Choice, building the Parent Choice Network. So, Pastor, we're talking tonight from the topic. When it comes to choice and opportunity, there are some people who would say, it's good for me, but not for thee. In other words, I can have the best, but you just take whatever you get or whatever's left over. How does that sit with you, Pastor Wong?
You say take what I get and you have what's left over. You know, pretty interesting, I must say. I mean, that sounds very, very interesting because it fits society today. You know, if the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer, that means that you can set the foot of my table and I can give you what's remaining. You know, if you just use that as a concept of what you're talking about. In other words, if I'm greedy and I know that I don't want you to have the same opportunity, and I mean, I must have the advantage over you. You know, I mean, that happens in society on many occasions.
Oh, yeah. And watch this, Pastor. This is what I've witnessed, gentlemen, with my own eyes. We often point the finger to white people, say that they're the root and source of blacks being held back. But in reality, there are some black folks who are in a position of influence and in a position to make a difference. And they're the ones who take that notion. The best thing, cream on top. That's for me. Y'all get whatever's left over. But when I get mine first, that's, you know, and what seems to be fair and appropriate is to make everybody aware of the opportunity. Let everybody come to the table. And I don't know if that is a sign. If everybody comes to the table, and, you know, you everybody go for what they know.
Yeah. Everybody go to the table. Come to the table just as you are. I mean, that's but in the, at the table, still there's a lane that one's supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if
you know,
because y'all don't want a cord. I mean, it's appropriate.
Yeah.
But
you know, I was
not,
reading about Mr. Khan. Have you ever heard? You know, the guy that owned the Jackson Jaguars. He's a Palestinian. He's a Palestinian.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a Palestinian. He came to this country, I think, in the 1980s. He had $500 in his pocket.
Okay.
And he went from there to getting involved in the invention of those one-piece bumpers that you see on trucks. And he bought the Jaguars. He owned another team in Europe, and he's worth about $8.6 billion now.
Okay.
This was a man that came
him?
To the United States with $500, and he's seen the opportunities that exist.
Right. Right.
Jimmy John's another one. You know Jimmy John's, the sandwich places?
I've heard of him, yes.
Yeah, that's a black man that owned all of those throughout the country.
Here's what I was going to say, and that is this. Every time, so when I was running for office, there were several, one of my key platforms, you know this, Pastor Waller, was education. And I talked about finding ways to bring about policies to allocate the resources necessary to make things equal and balanced, right? And it was interesting because I ran into a lot of candidates who, and I had one of my children. One of my children went to a private school, a high school, right? But a lot of these candidates, they were advocating for essentially forcing children in public schools while their children were in private school or graduated from private school. And I'm saying to myself, many of them didn't, some of them, you know, there was a thing they were trying to get them to live in the county to make it fair, right? I'm like, wait a minute, now how you going to tell these folks that they just got to accept whatever's going on at the school the child is doing is at? But, you know, somehow, and I'm not blaming them for their choice to put their child in private school. That's why I'm glad now even the poorest of parents have an opportunity to choose the same thing. That's an interesting thing there. And, you know, that idea, you know, it's for me, but not for thee.
Well, the reason they put their kids in private school is because they can afford it.
Okay.
Now, how they go about obtaining the funds for doing it is off the public dole. How I went about using myself as an example, but I'm not the only one. I done it because I was able to afford to, because I had a skill that was in high demand, and those that demanded it was willing to pay extremely well for it.
Okay.
Now, if you produce more out of your lot, LOT, that has those same qualifications, then likewise, they will not have to depend on the public dole.
Well,
they will not have to depend on the private on public schools.
I see where you're coming from, but unfortunately, The reality is that is not the case. Like you, I bust my behind. You know, I've both been dead in the streets of Chicago, but I bust my behind because I wanted to change that reality for my children. Now, my daughter graduated from a public school and did well. Loved her teachers, and I used to work with a lot of caring, talented teachers, and many of them in the public school system. That's not the point. The point is that everybody wants the very best for their children. Unfortunately, like across the nation, many of the public schools are just not adequate at addressing specific needs, particularly when it comes to black children. We're losing.
Well, you said it. You just said it right there. Everybody wants the best, but
that's right.
The kicker is that they are not willing to do what's necessary to obtain that. They are not willing to sacrifice.
St. Louis, many of them, I've met people who are, they just don't know where to go and what to do to make that happen. Not just they're not willing. That's not the case.
Well,
and I have found, that a lot of influential people that look like me are the ones who are trying to keep them in the dark, keep them bland. See? And as long as they're bland and
ignorant, why would they be able to be kept in blind?
Well, here's part of it is because they rely on people that they voted for, right?
All right.
Supposed
then
to represent their interests. I'm going to ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. They're supposed to represent their interests, and they trust that they're going to do that.
Okay, then why do they not know to research the history and the positions that these politicians take and have taken?
I believe many of them are waking up today because there's an uprising coming. There's a lot of people who are tired of being sick and tired, like Fannie Lou Hamer down in Mississippi. They're tired of being sick and tired.
Let me ask you a question. If you was wanting to find out who is supportive of your Second Amendment right, what organization would you go to and be educated toward choosing the right candidate?
I would probably realistically go to typically, and that wouldn't be a step there. I was going to say typically conservative organizations who list
like
candidates who? That tend to support them. NRA, for
there
example.
There you go. Hold it right there.
Well, it's not the only, hold on one second.
Ooh, you a smart man.
Let me finish my statement.
Go ahead.
It's not just NRA because there are a lot of Democrats who favor and support Second Amendment rights. So I don't think that it's just one group or one particular thing. But go ahead. You were trying to.
Generally, when we talk about black people, their elected officials don't support Second Amendment rights. You know why? Because you can go research their positions on websites that keep track of that. Now, you may mention the NRA, but what is the popular narrative given to black people about the NRA? Well, they were not for black people. So now, that right there, that's, and I'm going to call it foolishness. That foolishness is what keep them from finding out what they should find out when it comes to voting for a candidate on that particular topic, Second Amendment
okay.
right. But it just don't stop there. You also have on the position of these candidates how they feel about school choice. So if you don't research these candidates to find out how they feel on something that's dear to you, then you will continue and continue and continue to elect people who are not in your interest. And that's what happens.
I agree with you. I agree with you, sir. And Pastor Waller knows that as a candidate, where I put most of my energy. And in fact, I didn't even name a website.
And I'm not saying you. I'm saying that's what the reality is.
Well, I'm getting to a point. I'm bringing that up to get to a point. And especially since we're targeting Nashville right now. Anybody that's watching me would know that my focus was on constituent advocacy and educating people about the issues. If you say you are unhappy with the implementation of a certain law, a certain policy, or the lack of one, right? And I applaud young people here in Nashville because we didn't have a police oversight board, right? Now, I think there are some issues about it personally, but we didn't have one. And they could have did like they did in Baltimore and in St. Louis after recent shootings and terror plays, but they didn't. They were smart enough to organize themselves and to go through the political process to get it. And they have one now. Hopefully it'll work out, right?
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on 1 second.
In Nashville.
I hope it doesn't lead to more trouble and anarchy, particularly for the poorest communities who rely on the police heavily for public safety or anyone else that is a business owner. But at least they have one. And what I'm applauding is them availing themselves to the political process by being educated and informed. And that's where, when it comes to school choice, as we're talking about right now, that's perhaps the best thing you can do. If you don't know, find out. And that's why we're promoting that now. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. You got a black politician that represents black people in Nashville, right? What's their name?
A few of them, yes. Well,
They're public politicians. I'm trying to look them up.
Go ahead. Help yourself. I'm not going to.
I don't know
the name.
Name.
No, that's all
what
right.
District?
But what's your point? Well, carry your point.
What district are you in?
I'm in Senate District 19. I'm in the
on a state level.
U.S. Congressional fifth congressional district. District 50, I believe it's for the Senate district. I may be incorrect about that, but yeah. So there are several different delineations.
Thelma Harbor.
Okay. Formerly.
That her?
Formerly.
Is she there now?
Retired. No.
She's retired now. Brenda Gilmore. Is she there now?
Okay. She is. She is.
Okay, hang on. Go ahead and finish talking. I'll tell you.
What is your point, St. Louis? Pastor Walker,
I'm going to show you here. I'm going to show you here in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead and keep talking. I'm trying to get some.
So,
get something
so
up
Pastor,
here.
Pastor Walker, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Let's talk about how to help these folk here in Nashville. At the end of the day, if you don't do it yourself, can you really expect anybody else to do it for you? That's why.
I mean, you can expect it, you know, but it just don't mean it's going to happen. But it'd be better if you had opportunity to do something yourself. I mean, if you knew how to reach out, and you know, you didn't ever know whether it would make a difference or not until you reach out. And everybody does not have the same way of going about doing it. So you have to do what works for you.
Right.
That's the way life designed. Mm-hmm. It's that way.
Okay, I'm ready.
Just 1 second, St. Louis. And what happens a lot of times, pastors, that a lot of good people who, again, want to believe that those in certain seats will do everything just right. And I'm not saying that anybody has to come and carry your trash out for you or bathe you at night, but where you sit in the seat and you're supposed to inform people about resources and opportunities and help them with making those selections, if you fall short of that, then you got to be held to account as well. And that's what I'm really talking about. And when we talk about empowering parents relative to their educational choices, those are your babies. See, the school district didn't give birth to one of those children. Parents did. That's why you ought to have the greatest faith in what's best for them. Some parents don't know. So who's going to tell them? I tell you, you're going to tell them. BFCS to BFC Michigan to Fan Choice Network gonna provide a platform for you to know. We're gonna talk about that in the last few minutes here in just a little bit, but we're going to do the first hour of our segment here. Did you have something to say, Pastor, before I go to St. Louis?
You mean St. Louis? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Pastor, did you have something to say before I go to St. Louis?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it sounds like you're talking about someone who have the willingness, not just to talk. You know, it's like it's an action form that you're talking about. For those who just may be willing from what you're doing by way of reaching out. And that makes a difference. You know, it makes a difference.
Right. And ain't no need to take it personal. When change comes, don't take change personal. You got to get up and move because you're in the way. Change requires you to move. Bust a move. Don't be scared. Just don't bust a move. All right.
That's right.
Go ahead, St. Louis. What were you going to say, St. Louis?
All right, now here's your Brenda Gilmore on education. Question, do you support adopting federal education standards in Tennessee? She said no. Question, do you support state funding for charter schools? She said no. Question, should immigrants unlawfully present in the United States who graduate from Tennessee high schools be eligible for in-state tuition at public universities? She said yes. She want to give away your money to illegals. Let's go on to another thing here. Let's see here. Social issues.
Okay. So let me
hang on. Economic.
Let me stop.
Wait. One more. Real quick.
Let me stop you right there, St. Louis. Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
I don't want the focus of the conversation tonight to even give power to anyone but parents. That's all I'm trying to give power to. And right
well, this
now,
is the power the people supposed to have, is to vote people
listen
in that support their issues.
All right, listen to me. I think I know the ground here in Nashville, Davidson County, a whole lot better than you do. You can read what you're reading. I get that. But I've been around in 32 years, and I know that there are people that right away.
Well, why come it's
right
not happening, Dockery?
Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the very best I can.
Well, but you're only talking about yourself. We're talking,
well,
this woman here probably was elected by hundreds, maybe a thousand votes.
And guess what? I'm not even talking about her right now. Okay,
yeah, but she's the one that's against you having choice. And also these other people having choice.
St. Louis,
am I right?
Against me too. The devil is against me doing.
Well, we talking about myths now. We talking about elected officials.
Well, wait a minute now.
Come on, let's be real.
Let me say this: is what I'm trying to tell you. As long as I'm walking and I'm doing what I got to do, it don't matter what anybody.
Well, but
walking.
That's you. You ain't gonna. You got to have some. See, the same thing with Booker T. Washington. He had to go to someone for money.
Yes.
In order to make what he tried to do happen.
Correct.
People are not
Correct.
Going to, hang on, people are not going to invest in things
who
that's
go
against
to?
Their interest.
Who do you go to? Who do you go
well,
to?
Well, like you mentioned, he went to white
philanthropists. So don't fool with nobody that ain't trying to help you. Those are the people that want to help you. That's,
yeah, but
to, that's,
you don't have no whites in the elected position that's steering
no, that's
money into your
that's
in
not,
your district. You're in
St.
the 19th.
St. Louis, that ain't true. That is just not true. In fact, guess what, St. Louis? We got some. I hate to use the superficial term white, but there are some white people who understand that in order to bring these young cats off the street, in order to provide them the best opportunities to use their skills and develop themselves intellectually, that you need to change and
how old are these people you're talking about?
St. Louis, listen to me. You're missing me. Well, that's the only thing. I love you like a big brother. That's the only thing I don't like about you. You ain't listening to me, man. What I'm saying to you
I don't
you
heard
is,
this before, Doc. But go ahead. That's why I'm a big brother. That's why I'm a big brother.
I don't think you don't care nothing about it, man. So,
yeah,
and
I care about
you.
I don't want to see you walk a mile in the wrong direction.
All right, and I'll wrap it up like this. I'll wrap it because I'm really speaking to my audience here in Nashville right
mm-hmm.
now. Seriously. We don't need to waste our time in a cop fight with anybody. Okay? you already know where some people stand. What you got to do is take advantage of the opportunity in front of you. And right now, beloved, Parent Choice Network provides you the opportunity. It don't matter if they were purple or green that provided them. They're here. Take advantage of it. I'm about to go and I'm gonna walk you through it. I got a whole website to empower you with that information. Don't even waste your time worried about what somebody did yesterday. You ain't going to be able to bring yesterday back.
Have you ever heard of Bail?
Who?
Have you ever heard of an organization called Bail?
Bail
was a national organization that was put in place by a man by the name of Howard Fuller. I think he came out of Milwaukee.
Okay.
It's Bail stands for Black Americans Educational Options. It was
okay.
A multi-million operation. Bail used to supply the infrastructure and funding for groups that wanted to have their own choice in schools.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, it was good. But they're not in business anymore.
That's what I was going to say. I noticed you said they were good. What happened?
They were good. And I worked I worked with Bertha Gilkey in the St. Louis area and I can't think of it up. The other lady's name was Carla. She was with Bell. But they provided what was needed. And Bertha took out over 2,000 children out of the St. Louis public school with the information that she provided.
Okay.
But what I'm saying
now,
is this.
Fact. Okay, what's your point right quick?
Oh,
I'm
boy,
get
I tell
it.
You what, man. Everybody likes to cut Pianti off.
Go ahead,
as
Pianti.
I said before.
Talking, then I'm going to get the parent choices. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Bale
was a school, and it did work around the countries and those cities where people wanted to subscribe to their services. And it was successful until a point. It just wasn't achieving what it was trying to achieve. And like I was trying to say, you're working, what you're doing is perfectly fine. I have nothing against that. What I'm saying is that the students in the elementary schools, in the elementary area, they're the parents need to have the ability to remove their child and put them in different environments. Okay? And presently, they have to depend on their elected official. But their elected official is against them having that possibility. Therefore, when they get to the age of where you're working with, they either are or they're not. They are on the right track or they're on the wrong track. Thus, you come into existence. Now, if that's not changed on the far end, well, you'll be constantly busy. That's all I'm trying to say.
I appreciate that. That's what I'm here for. I don't mind being busy. I don't mind working for my people.
You
got a problem. In fact,
and you know what? We had
problem.
Some politicians in St. Louis that was Democrats. Yaphet Alamein. You had Rodney Hubbard that was for school choice.
Sure.
But you had a bunch of them that was against it.
I hope you understand that I'm not going to get caught up in that web of.
Well, I'm not trying to tell you to. I was putting the information out there for the people to hear.
I got you.
That's why I brought up. The website where people can look up politicians that come to them for their support.
When I was running for office, I put all that out there right here in Davidson County. So I know what you're talking about. Let me do this because this is the information we're putting out right now. Parent Choice Network. Let me do this. So I want you to turn your ears on. Y'all pay attention now. Check me out. Get your computer. Go to Parent Choice Network. Type that in your keyword search, all right? And when you get there, what you're going to find is that in this website, there's the homepage, the blog, scholarship eligibility. Now, the good news is that in another week or so, or next month, I believe it is, this application is going to formally come out, you, to be able to look at schools that have been approved by the state of Tennessee, and you can go shopping like you do at Walmart and choose where you think your child can fit. One of the things I'm pushing for and I love to see is where ultimately you'd be able to use it for tutoring. But what I understand now is first thing you can do is to look at private school options. And I know of one in particular that I'm going to encourage you to go look at. We'll talk about that later on.
I can't find your website. Go.
Okay. All right.
What is it called?
Let's go to
Parent Trust.
It's called Parent Choice Network. Choice Network. That's Parent Plural Choice Network. .org. Thank you. Okay, and when we get there, I want us to go down just for a second to scholarship eligibility. Who can take advantage of this? Who is it that will qualify for it? Well, there are a few very short questions here that when you fill it out, it asks you what your name is, your email, so that you can get back with you and communicate with you. What county are you in? Because there are two counties that benefit from this, Davidson and Shelby. What grade is your child or children in? And that helps to determine where the best possible location is for them. When you give us this information, we'll communicate with you and we'll help you and walk you through the process. That's the whole thing, okay? And then it asks the question, are you interested in learning more about how your child can attend private or charter school? Yes, they can attend a charter school. I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. Answer that question. What's your household size? That's an important question. What is your income, right? Do you or your child currently qualify for free and reduced lunch? All right. What does your child need to succeed more in school? Now, this is a very important question because a lot of times the assumption is parents don't know. No, they're not professional educators. They've never been to, many of them haven't been to school to study. Not all of them, but most of them have been to school to study how to be a teacher or something like that. But they know their children. So, and you know what environment best helps your child, right? What does an ideal school look like to you as a parent? Okay, that's another consideration. What concerns about the current school's choices that are there do you have? Once you answer all that information, that blue button that says submit, click it. Make sure you submit it. We'll get it, and we'll take this information, and we'll respond to you and do everything we can to match you with some of the source options and show you how to walk through that. Okay? So that's the first thing. So that's the eligibility question. All right. Then let's look at right now the public schools, that's Metro Schools. And, again, I'm not here to slam them. I think they do a pretty good job in many cases. Unfortunately, there are some areas that they can use our help on. Let's look at, we're going back over to the far left corner in the green, and we want to look under the link that says Choices for Tennessee Students. Choices for Tennessee Students. Click on that right quick. I'll give you a second. Get up with me. You'll notice that it says in the middle, Choices, School Choice Option. MNPS, that's Metro National Public Schools. That's a choice. If you click on it, let's do that for a second, you'll see that right now they're in the process of parents being able to choose a magnet, and charter schools are part of school choice option, lottery schools and things of that nature. So we link you to Metro Schools website because we do want you to be empowered with that information as well. They have an opportunity for you to explore, to visit, to apply to certain schools, and I believe you can go to Bradford Avenue and they will be able to help you. They have a help desk. They began tours on January the 14th, and it looks like they're going to be, their deadline to apply for a random selection is February 14th. That's this coming Friday. So you definitely want to do that if you're interested in that, okay?
Let me ask you a question. I see you have testing requirements here.
For what now?
It says here right beneath new to the district or switching schools, it says testing requirement changes. The testing requirements was altered. Then it says academic interest requirements for 2020-2021.
Are you talking about for the MNPS schools?
Yeah, it's on your...
Is that where you're, okay. Mm-hmm. It's on the Metro National Public Schools website? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the same one you just referenced to.
Okay, good. So there are some schools that you do have to do a test for because they're academic-based schools, and there is a requirement there, as I understand. But what I would encourage you to do is to visit that school or call and make those inquiries, basically, about what the admissions process is for those particular schools. Well, there are some magnet schools or specialty schools in Metro that do have academic requirements for admissions or entrance. Well, yes, absolutely. Thank you for that question. Thank you for that. And I would encourage you again to go there. Bradford Avenue is the where the school board is, and there's an office and a help desk down there where there are people that will help you make that choice. All right. Having said that, let's look at the we just talked about the private school or educational savings account. And that's where, when this new state scholarship or educational savings account, you can get up to $7,100 and send your child to a list. There will be a list of private schools coming out soon. When parents want to look there, you will get an account in your name. It's not funds in your hands directly, but this account will be in your name. You can communicate online to the State Department of Education that I like Dr. Christian Academy. I like Dr. Christian Academy. I like what they have to offer, and I would like my child to go there. If Dr. Christian Academy is not on the list, you won't be able to choose. Fortunately, it is. But you can choose that, for instance, or you can say, I want to go to Lighthouse Christian Academy, let's say, for instance. Whatever is on that list, born again, Christian Academy, there's some things that you might find there. You may choose to go there, and you communicate online, let the state know I like this school, here's their tuition, because all that will be on there. And the state will say, okay, born again, Dr. Christian, Lighthouse, you've been chosen, and we will, there's a process by which they will register as well with the State Department of Ed, and your child will be able to go there. But I encourage you, once that site is open, you'll be able, each school will indicate their dates that you can visit and things of that nature. It could be an informative type of list that's coming. But today, if you go ahead and go with me and fill out that form and that information, we'll be able to help you a lot better real soon to get where you want to be. That's another choice option for the private school or educational savings. All right. Then underneath that is charter school. Let's click on charter school right quickly. This is the State Department of Education website. Some people don't really understand how they work. If you go back to Metro's MNPS site, they also have a listing for charter schools as well because it falls under the Metro school system, you know, within the Metro school system. However, if you want more information about how they work and what they're supposed to provide and things of that nature, we've listed this particular website. I want to emphasize again that you can go to Metro Nashville Public Schools, which supervises the current charter schools, and you can see the listing of schools addition to the magnet schools, traditional schools, specialty schools, art school. In fact, there's some children in Metro that are going to be singing with a famous artist this week, I believe it is, at Pearl College. They have an arts magnet program and music, a powerful music program. They're going to be working with one of the, I think it's a country thing, I may be mistaken about. But anyway, so I don't get lost there, I want to explain that charter schools, they are smaller typically, and they have room to be a bit innovative in their instructional process. They are contracted directly with the school board, the local school board, Nashville Public School Board, but they're under contract, and this is a state program as well that works within the school system to charter, to monitor them and hold them accountable. They have 2 years to get it right, or 5 years roughly, and if they don't, then they can be, they're not doing well and your child won't fit there, you'll have to keep them there. Part of the choice option period now is to, you know, make that choice now. It looks like it's going to be closing on the 14th of February, so you want to move expeditiously. St. Louis was saying you want to know and act accordingly and do it in a timely fashion. Do it in a timely fashion. All right. So one other thing is homeschool option. Now, thing about homeschool is, let's click on it just for a second. That's a state web page as well. It explains all of these opportunities here and what you can do with them, right? There are a couple of things here. With the homeschool, the parent can educate their children at home. There are a couple of groups around Davidson County that do a really good job. They produce some high-performing on standardized tests, children that are high-performing, and parents are able to link up with some of these organized homeschool groups. A lot of them are church-based, and things of that nature, and parents are in the best position to really determine how information is taught to their children. Many people choose to pull out because they don't agree with some of the policies, social issues, and things of that nature in schools, or they are concerned about their child's safety or different things or different reasons. But this is a page you can look at. One thing I want to focus on tonight, and that is the Individualized Education Account Program. Now, what it does is allow a parent to take their child out of the traditional public school. If your child has a individual education plan, or they're in the special ed program. Thing is, you take your child out, then it's on you to find the proper place for them to get the specialized instruction for them. But there is a certain amount of funds that you can get. I think it's like $7,800 that you can use. That's a option for you as well. If you have a child that's in special ed, that is an option for you as well. Want to make sure that you're aware of that, and not focusing a whole lot on that right now, but that is another choice option. All right. So we've clicked on each of those links. I just want to scroll down a little bit, and we'll reiterate again the eligibility requirement. This is Education Savings Account and Parent Choice Network. Our website is pcntn.org. PCNTN.org, and we're working with the Memphis area as well, group in Memphis as well, to help share this information. The group that we're directly working under is the American Federation for Children, and they are very adamant about providing empowerment to parents. It's a national group. I'm grateful for them because they've helped a great deal for us to be able to the effort to empower parents to choose. So we are certainly grateful for that. And you might notice that that's part of our partnership. If you scroll down the Parent Choice Network, we exist largely because of the American Federation of Children, and we are working to help provide awareness. Our intent is not to get you to get in a fight with anybody, but to make you to empower you with knowledge and information. So as you scroll down, you see BFC Missions Incorporated is in partnership with American Federation for Children. Because we believe that every child, every child has the right, should have the opportunity, have the ability to learn under the right circumstances, under the right circumstances they can, and we're convinced that they will. All right? Just last thing I want to do is to encourage you to join our Facebook group. And you'll see an icon here for Facebook. If you click on it, basically it'll take you straight to us. I want you to encourage you to join that group. And that's another way to stay informed and to be in the loop about the things that we're doing as we move forward. Okay? With that being said, now, you can see these podcasts on the homepage. I'm sorry. Jumped around. I didn't tell you where I was going. I'm back on the homepage where it says the blog conversation. The point of our traveling podcast is to be very specific and intentional about the information. So if you missed us tonight or your friend was not able to join you, they didn't follow us on Facebook, they can either look at this whole Facebook live streaming, or I want to encourage them to get the information themselves. Go to pcncn.org, and if you want to hear the conversations, you can click on any of those shows that are previously there. Pastor Wilder, we're at about 380 or so episodes now. Can you believe that since we started 4 years ago?
Amazing.
Can you believe that, Pastor Wilder?
Yeah, time has rolled by, man. Yeah, I can believe it because you've been having some interesting, you've been having some interesting conversations, you know. And,
yes, sir.
So yeah, I can believe it, sir.
I've grown.
This
I've
is
grown from it. Wait, sir. That looks.
This is under the homeschooling in Tennessee. It has a right where parents can do what I'm familiar with. I mean, homeschool students allowed to take class or participate in extracurricular activities at public school. Yes, they are. Your curriculum can be whatever you want it to be, but keep in mind that the student has to be assessed. And also, you don't have to go by Tennessee's assessment facilities. You can take them to a separate assessment facility. It says, can a parent at a homeschool student in grades 5, 7, or 9 choose to provide some other form of assessment rather than the CTCAP/EOC? And it said, yes, that's good.
Okay. The thing is that they strive to empower parents through these programs, and that's largely why we are making them known tonight. It's because, for me, I want parents to have the information, and I'm glad you took the time to read it. I hope everyone that's following us do likewise. That's why we're putting it out, and we're emphasizing it. Because
now, let me ask you a question. Are you associated with a particular...
Hold on one second. I'm coming back to you.
And you know, it's kind of hard for me. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that the echo behind you makes it kind of hard.
Oh, all right, hold on one second, though. 3072, thanks for joining us. We got about 7 minutes for tonight because, you know, we're doing our special traveling tour different places. But thanks for joining. Let me just recognize you.
Thank you.
You
all right.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, St. Louis.
Now, what I was going to say is that I was asking, are you associated with a particular school yourself? And whether that's a yes or a no, one of the ways.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the ways to go out and get subscribers to this program, I think you got to take the information to them. And whether it's churches, all the way down the knocking on doors. That's
right.
What
we're
Bert had done here in St. Louis. Yeah.
That's a part of our overall strategy. That's a good idea, and we're doing that actually as we speak. My feet are sore now because we've been doing
and see,
that.
One of the things you got here is that a parent can take their child out of a tradition setting any time of the year, not wait until the beginning of the semester, and that's something
true.
That I know a lot of concerns, efforts did not have that ability to do. They had to wait till September of the beginning of school year.
True. And so to our point earlier, St. Louis, these are things that the people who are aware and who know to look for those things, it's everyday knowledge. But there are people who are looking for answers and options. Because if your child don't go to school, you'll be in violation of compulsory school attendance laws that said you have to be there until you're 18. So, but there are people that are unfortunately unhappy with a lot of the schools that unfortunately that are not doing very well at meeting the standards, academic standards. That's really what it's about. It ain't about the teachers, it ain't about the principals, it ain't about nobody but the children getting what they need. That's really what it's all about.
And places like Head Start and preschool is a good place to subscribe people also.
You make a good point. We're rebuilding a team that are doing that now. And I mentioned earlier that we're going to be announcing it once we get it formalized. But we're going to do a major presentation in the viewing of a lady out of Washington, D.C. called Miss Virginia, who really pushed and started the movement for parent choice options, simply because she didn't want to see her son die in the streets of Washington, D.C.
Yes, good.
And
one other thing, send Pastor Wallace to the clubs and let him try to subscribe some people.
Oh, leave Pastor Wallace alone, man. He's been being chased. You're not going to respond to that, are you?
I'm trying to find out what he knows about the club. What do you know about the club? I'd like to know something about the club.
No, I've seen a commercial on TV.
No, not a commercial, man. We're not talking about no commercial. We're talking about the real deal. Sound like
the real deal.
So you going on what they say on the commercial, huh?
You don't want
the real. I thought you want the real deal. You got to go up in the club.
But this sounds like a good plan, Mr. Dockery, and I hope it's successful for you. And also, you might want to also share information about the new 529 plan at the federal level. Whereas they allow the tax deduction for money saved for college, but now they can use the 529 plan in the same type of relationship that you're talking about now. They can use it anywhere along the education path.
Perhaps down the road. I don't want to confuse anyone with our immediate actions right now, though, but that's something that can always be added in. And my clock is going to run out on me. My clock's on. Listen, thank you all for joining us tonight. We'll be back at our regular format on Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you, Pastor Waller and Brother Ives St. Louis here for joining us tonight. And we'll be my lady's about to tell me she's gonna cut me off now. But we'll appreciate it. A brief word, Pastor, before we go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to you, you're doing a great job, man. I just thank you for the conversation tonight. And we just trust everything going to work itself out. Because there is a scripture that says, is there anything too hard for God? You have a desire to help all kids. And I like that, you know, and that keeps the door open for whosoever will. Let them come.
Yes, sir. Let them come.
A year back to you.
All right, Pastor, we'll see you Thursday night. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, take care. Bobby, take care.
Blue Plan said, it's members only. It's for thee. It's good for me, but not for thee. We're going to change it. We'll flip that on his head. It's for everybody. If you're struggling, come on. You ain't need no money. You ain't got to be rich or nothing. Just come on. It's members only tonight. We'll see you Thursday night for another episode of Talk Straight. It's your Reverend Doctor. And I call Pastor Ricky Wallace. We'll see you then.
Members only, it's a private party. Don't need no money. Qualified. Customers only.